Thank you very much, Your Excellency Ambassador Enrique Castillo, Chairman of the Permanent Council, distinguished permanent representatives and distinguished alternates, Secretary General Jose Miguel Insulza, distinguished permanent observers. I'm pleased to acknowledge also the presence of my wife Charmaine and of Mrs. Jorgina Insulza. Their presence is of course not only welcome but also much appreciated. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, first I would wish to express my gratitude to you and the distinguished members of the Permanent Council for affording me this opportunity to reflect on the challenges and accomplishments of the last 5 years and share with you my vision for this institution. Although a proud national of the Republic of Suriname, I am privileged to once again address you as the candidate of the Caribbean community. CARICOM heads of government unanimously endorsed my nomination in July 2009. Other member states of the Organization of American States have also pledged their fullest support for my nomination. And with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I take this opportunity to express my gratitude for the overwhelming support and confidence expressed so far. Today, I present my candidacy for a second term as Assistant Secretary General with a record of achievement, a demonstrated commitment to this organization, and the citizens of our hemisphere. With a willingness to listen, take decisions, and act in partnership with others, I welcome the opportunity to complete the tasks I have undertaken. I would like to express my appreciation to Secretary General Jose Miguel Insulza for the collaboration during this time since we were in office. I'm also thankful for the loyal efforts of my immediate team and the support of the dedicated staff of the General Secretariat and affiliated organizations such as the Trust for the Americas, the Young Americas Business Trust, and the Pan American Development Foundation, who all have contributed to the success of our efforts. Mr. Chairman, over the last 15 years, I have had the privilege to work in different capacities within the Organization of American States, as a diplomat, as a political advisor, and now as an elected official. I have witnessed and been part of many processes and events which have tested the mettle of this organization and demonstrated its true value. The principles, values, and work of this organization, the commitment to democracy and fundamental freedoms, fostering equality and social justice, advancing peace, and promoting development have been indeed a passion for me for many decades. And since my election in June of 2005, I have continuously worked to build new partnerships in order to promote those principles and values. I have also promoted common action to achieve tangible results that improve the lives of the peoples of the Americas. Mr. Chairman, distinguished permanent representatives, my vision for the next 5 years is guided by the vision and ideals of many, but in particular, Simón Bolívar. And I have stated publicly my conviction that as a trusted space for consultation, negotiation, and partnership, the OAS plays a critical role in the Americas. Even with the current and projected institutional architecture in the Americas for dialogue and consultation, I believe that the OAS is indispensable. In my view, it remains the only hemispheric political entity with a broad mandate to strengthen peace and security of the continent and to facilitate common action to address the many cross-border challenges our countries face. In the last 2 months, our hemisphere has suffered major natural disasters, including devastating earthquakes in Haiti and in Chile. The Organization of American States plays an important facilitating role in leveraging and coordinating relief assistance in the immediate aftermath of natural disasters. But we also play a crucial role in accompanying governments during these critical times of crisis to ensure continuity of governance and the rule of law. And for this reason, I have dedicated much attention on the issue of natural disaster response and mitigation over the last 5 years. I will continue to work tirelessly with the Inter-American institutions, the Inter-American Development Bank, the Pan-American Health Organization, the Inter-American Institute for Cooperation on Agriculture, the Inter-American Defense Board, and affiliated entities to improve relief and response mechanisms as well as risk management and vulnerability reduction. One of the most difficult times for me as Assistant Secretary General came in recent weeks. For me, having worked with the government and people of Haiti for more than a decade, and having witnessed firsthand their resilience and determination to triumph over adversity, I was deeply, deeply saddened by the extent of the tragedy and enormous loss of life. But at the same time, I was encouraged by the immediate and substantial response of member states to assist the nation in need. And as I flew over Port-au-Prince and other affected areas, talked to the people in the streets and those providing critical relief, I was also reminded of the importance of the OAS and of its political leadership. I left Haiti re-energized to use the office to which I'm elected to make an even more significant difference in the lives of the Haitian people and the people of the Americas. As chair of the OAS Haiti Task Force and the Haiti Group of Friends, I have worked to fulfill the commitments of the hemisphere to Haiti by providing concrete support to improving coordination on policy, planning, and resource mobilization, matching international assistance with the priorities of the Haitian government and its people, and maintaining international support for Haiti. These efforts have led to the creation of the Inter-American Program for Haiti, the first structured collaboration among all Inter-American agencies and donors providing support to that country. Haiti, in our view, has to remain high on the political agenda of this organization, and I believe it is our obligation to continue advocating internationally for the needs of the Haitian people. Mr. Chairman, with each challenge and every success, we not only move toward greater collaboration and partnership, but also strengthen our own democracies. And I know that democracy is not always perfect, but I believe firmly in the cause and principles of democracy and democratic governance. This is why I was honored to serve as chief of mission for several electoral observation missions. And in that capacity, I had the honor to observe electoral processes and facilitate political dialogue among key actors both during the pre as well as the post-election phase. Since my election, I have worked to bring renewed emphasis and political feasibility to the development pillar within the organization. I have led the dialogue on development reform within the organization based on my conviction that this would underscore the political priority of the development agenda given the interrelationship that exists between democracy, development, and security. I have worked with member states to prioritize education, youth, and social cohesion, which are cornerstones of sustainable development. In this regard, I would like to mention two specific achievements. Firstly, the establishment of an inter-regional educational alliance network of schools and universities in the Caribbean and Central America, which we hope to expand throughout the Americas. Secondly, the creation of the Interdepartmental Working Group on Youth, which has been responsible for developing a youth strategy to mainstream youth in the OAS agenda. Mr. Chairman, distinguished ambassadors, while I am pleased to talk about what we have accomplished together over these past 5 years, I believe it is important to focus on the way forward. Fundamentally, I believe that our organization has to focus on the three P's. It is about people, it's about peace, and it's about prosperity. The people of the Americas expect that the deliberations here and in the many meetings, as well as in the General Assembly, result in decisions and actions that have a direct and immediate and positive impact on their daily lives. I believe that we must live up to those expectations of the peoples of the Americas. The opportunities and the challenges we face in the future may even be more complex as our nations and our region become more integrated into the global community. As new forms of communication emerge and new structures are established, the issues we confront will increasingly have cross-national impacts that require coordinated responses. So let me now outline a few key areas which I believe are central to sustaining democratic governance and ensuring peaceful and more prosperous future for the next generations of citizens. I start with the need for what I call next generation measures to strengthen and deepen democracy. One of the founding purposes of the OAS, as stated in the OAS Charter, is, and I quote, to promote and consolidate representative democracy, end of quote. 62 years after the creation of the OAS, all of its active member states are governed by democratically elected governments. This is a major triumph for the organization. Democracy has created valuable space for public-private dialogue and has led to greater inclusion, particularly of traditionally marginalized groups. I believe it is now time to begin talking about the next generation measures to strengthen and deepen democracy and governance in our hemisphere. These include, in our view, renewed efforts to strengthen and modernize state institutions to facilitate the effective delivery of social and economic goods to all in society. New measures that incorporate human rights as a fundamental part of the education and governance framework. New approaches with respect to the modernization of political systems and parties and sharing of best practices. Next generation measures that emphasize integral development as a fundamental part of democratic governance. And finally, comprehensive strategies that pay particular attention to vulnerable economies and focus on the potential and the aspirations of the citizens. The OAS, Mr. Chairman, must work with member states as they seek to improve transparency and create real and effective mechanisms through which ordinary citizens may have a voice. The more effective use of new technologies to promote greater citizen participation is another area that needs further strengthening. Individual governments are increasingly reaching out to the citizens to incorporate their input into decision-making processes. So too, in our view, must the OAS consistently engage with civil society and the business community in order to benefit from their input. The modernization and deepening of our democracies is essential, and these next generation measures will be necessary to maintain and build on the gains achieved in the past years. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, as our hemisphere repositions itself to be more competitive in a global community, I believe that the OAS must assign greater political priority to the development agenda. Among other things, we must prioritize education as an essential cornerstone of sustainable development. I firmly believe that we need a new approach that is truly multilateral and transformative in nature, an approach which is not only focused on trade and related arrangements, but also takes into account the particular needs of countries at different stages of their development, builds capacity, and harnesses the benefits of science and technology to address the globalization of our economies, the threat of climate change, and of poverty reduction. Our ability to reap the benefits of globalization will depend on the flexibility of our societies to adapt to changes in the business and labor markets, particularly in an environment of intense international competition and technological advances. We must recognize that education is an important agent for change and a tool for knowledge generation. We therefore must dedicate more attention to the issue of youth and to the issue of youth at risk, promote training and mentoring programs, as well as entrepreneurship. I believe that we need to make a greater investment in women and youth. These two groups are key if we are to end the cycle of intergenerational transmission of poverty in our hemisphere. And if we do not address successfully and timely the educational and training challenges, economic growth, productivity, and competitiveness will be adversely affected. The OAS's commitment to poverty reduction and sustained development must translate into concrete support to improve education and develop private and public partnership programs and promote corporate social responsibility that can create vehicles to advance income growth and reduce poverty in our countries. Further, Mr. Chairman, distinguished ambassador, we should strengthen the interregional educational network to share knowledge, expertise, and bilingual training. These alliances will be critical for forming a cadre of new leaders in the Americas who have benefited from these cross-cultural educational experiences. These new public and private sector leaders will be better prepared to confront the range of traditional and non-traditional security threats, many of which are cross-border in nature. The cross-border nature of our current challenges, such as transnational crime, terrorism, environmental degradation, and natural disasters, make hemispheric collaboration a must. In this context, I believe governments must review how they can better coordinate and create the conditions for stability and security through a more comprehensive security arrangement, which prioritizes the social and economic needs of our societies. I propose greater cooperation with respect to judicial reform, law enforcement, and information sharing. And within the framework of multidimensional security, our efforts must incorporate peace building to address the sources of conflict in a more structured way. I believe that we must maintain our commitment to the fight against illegal drugs, human and arms trafficking, organized crime, and terrorism. But I also believe that we should pay greater attention to the growing challenge of crime and violence, which threatens the security of our citizens. If we are to find real solutions, it is important to not only focus on law enforcement as a short-term response, but to also understand and address the underlying causes of violence and crime in our societies, to establish comprehensive, coordinated intervention at all levels, and to design, develop, and promote violence prevention methods, working with governments, private sector, families, schools, and communities. Mr. Chairman, I believe that we should engage proactively and employ quiet diplomacy as an effective tool for assisting member states to resolve disputes before they evolve into larger conflicts. I believe that the elected officials of this organization have a responsibility and an obligation to engage governments and the broad spectrum of actors within the framework of existing instruments. That process of engagement is essential so that we can be fully responsive to the political body as it takes informed decisions in situations of challenge or crisis. In this context, if the organization is to be able to respond in a decisive way to the challenges we face, the future requires a strong and enhanced OAS. Within the existing framework of our adopted principles and values, the OAS of the 21st century must become more adept in responding to the evolving marketplace of ideas, new styles of leadership, the changing needs and priorities of member states. At the core of our new thinking must be the emphasis on people, the citizens of the Americas. I propose, therefore, that we place new and greater emphasis on multilateralism, building and strengthening partnerships with regional and international institutions, as well as permanent observers. As we continue to strengthen the OAS, we must also revitalize the Inter-American system and strengthen the collaboration between its principal institutions. However, to do this, genuine cooperation must form the basis of our hemispheric integration and development process. As I said in 2005, when I first ran for office, and I will quote, "The financial difficulties that the OAS is encountering right now in 2005 require urgent and special attention and deserve a permanent and satisfactory solution sooner rather than later." That was almost 5 years ago. That requirement is even more urgent today. Several options can be presented and discussed, including a review of the existing quota system, sourcing more funds from other participants in the OAS towards special or dedicated funds, and from those countries and organizations willing to finance the implementation of shared principles and objectives. And in my view, creativity, but also bold decisions and partnership will be required to achieve success. I also believe that it is time to broaden and deepen the organization's network of partners. Going forward, we need to work more closely with sub-regional groups, civil society, and the private sector. I am pleased to say that during the last 5 years, through steadfast commitment and support from the political bodies, we have succeeded in bringing the OAS closer to the peoples of the Americas. During this term, we have worked closely with member states to expand the organization's global outreach. The Columbus Memorial Library's participation in the World Digital Library has opened up a new line of communication, making the important deliberations, decisions, and the history of the OAS more readily available to millions of people who regularly access this site. OAS country offices must also play an important role in the organization's outreach efforts. Over the last 5 years, we have worked hard to strengthen the OAS's representational profile. This revitalization process began in 2006 with the bringing together of all OAS representatives to exchange information, develop a coherent strategy, and provide policy direction. This was the first such a meeting in over 18 years. And I'm pleased to report that we also initiated a process of rotation to promote the highest quality of performance and delivery to member states. In that regard, I believe that our stewardship of the organization's resources and our citizens' trust is critical. Even before the economic crisis, my office began a process of streamlining. I felt then, and I'm even more convinced now, that we could improve service delivery to member states. We began a process to modernize services and to utilize technology more extensively for meetings of the political body and for regular communication. That process, launched in 2007, has resulted in cost savings through reduced travel and increased productivity. Just as important, we have democratized access and brought the OAS to the people. Through the use of new technologies, citizens of the Americas have a greater access to the organization and can now participate live in meetings taking place in Washington while they remain in their home countries. At the same time, we have succeeded in realizing significant cost savings by advancing a technology-based green approach to meeting management. In fact, the Secretariat has reduced paper use by over 75%. If I'm given the chance to serve again, I'm committed to delivering fully green meetings by 2013. Mr. Chairman, distinguished representatives, let me close by reiterating that if given the opportunity to serve again, I will fully rededicate myself to this organization, its member states, the staff who serve this organization, and the hemispheric village of citizens. And as we move forward, in my view, the OAS must retain the dynamism, insight, and the capacity to evolve with changing times without losing sight of its core values. It will be particularly important for the OAS to preserve its political and institutional integrity through political resolve and action, as well as operational efficiency. And I'm fully committed to a united hemisphere in which all member states can work together to advance the development of our peoples. Mr. Chairman, members of the Permanent Council, I look forward to receiving your support and endorsement. I have the experience, the commitment, and the vision to help take this organization into the future and work under your guidance to further strengthen the Inter-American system. I thank you very much for your attention this afternoon, and I look forward to the opportunity to continue to serve the governments and the people of the Americas.
Muchas gracias, Embajador Randin.